Hi, I'm Azelle.
And I'm Jonna.
And I'm Max. And we interviewed Dror Yaron, an American immigrant from Israel, on May 9th, 2011.
My name is Dror Yaron. I was born in 1972 in Israel, and I lived in the United States for 15 years. I came from the Tel Aviv area. It's by the beach. I grew up on the coast of the Mediterranean, which is a great thing to have. Israel is kind of a connection point between Europe and Asia and even a little bit of Africa in a way, touching. My mother's family, they both were born in Israel, but my mother's family came from Tripoli in Libya, and my father's family came from Poland. My mother's childhood, I know, she was very poor. She's one of 12 kids, so it was pretty rough, and they had to share, it would be one banana for all the kids, or it was, that's the stories I heard. My grandmother, by the time I was around, my grandmother had a grove and she had a lot of chickens and she had like a little farm. It was really nice to go there. My father tells stories of growing up in Jaffa, where Jewish kids and Arab kids play soccer on the streets together. And it's kind of a shame that once they grow up, they end up hating each other and fighting. But as children, they just grow alongside each other and play with each other and their friends. There's a historic rivalry. It goes back to the days of the Bible in some ways, to the sons of Abraham, Ishmael and Isaac. But then closer, when Israel was established, some of the people that lived there were Arabs that lived there all their lives and generations and generations, and they were not happy with the decision that now the land belongs to somebody else. And then there were quite a few wars on that, and the wars added more and more wrongs for both sides to resent each other. I still believe that we should find a way to come together and resolve the issues, but it's pretty deep and pretty complicated. Well, I worked in journalism back in Israel. I started as kind of a shopping correspondent, and then the nightlife correspondent left the newspaper and they gave me, try to write a night column. And where I grew up is a suburb. It's not a suburb, but it's like a city that people just go to sleep. So when they asked me to write a night column, I looked around, tried to see what's happening, and I ended up writing a story about like toothbrushes, because you just brush your teeth and go to sleep. And then they liked it, so they gave me the night column, and I started doing all kinds of stories about sleeps and dreams, and not necessarily what you expect in a night column. And then they asked a food writer to do a test tasting of cough medicine, and he thought it was very insulting to do that, so I did it. They liked it so much that I got the food column then. That's a very nice job to have as one of your first jobs. And then I became the editor of that section. When you live in a country like Israel, all you get from the United States is the McDonald's and the Hollywood blockbusters. You don't get the quality stuff, you get the quantity stuff. So I never thought I would want to live in the United States. Another thing that you saw about the U.S. was the 60s and the power to the people and how people take their political power to the streets and influence government. And when I came here, I found that it's not like that anymore. I feel like people's power has eroded because they're not using it as much. It's more about consuming things, and people are not as involved in government or in affecting political decisions as much as they were. And in my mind, America was this free journalism and very powerful. And there's some of this in here, but also I find a lot of commercial influence in journalism. When you open the local news, coming from a place like Israel, you open the news and there's bombs. And here, it's many times the stuff happening in the world and nobody's talking about it. Israel is a safe place to live, but still, there's always that threat of war breaking, and here it also happens, but you don't feel it as much. It feels like here the threat of war or enemies is not as immediate, and it's not even when this war happens somewhere else. So in that way you feel safer, and maybe you focus on other things in life. It was not easy to get a job, especially because I came as a tourist. If you want to have a job, you have to have legal papers to have a job, so you just have to do whatever you get. I did some moving, I did some waiting on tables. Eventually, I got my legal papers. When I came to New York, the first thing that struck me is that it's not about the Statue of Liberty, and it's not about going sightseeing. Like, walking on the street the first day, I realized it's a place where people make stuff. And the strongest part of what's happening there is that everybody's doing something. There's this energy in the air, and I felt that if I want to experience this city, and I should experience this city, is I should make stuff. And that's why I actually enrolled in school and started taking photos. Because when I got to the U.S., my wonderful skills in writing in Hebrew weren't very useful, and I had to convert to something else, and that's where photography came, because it was still about communicating, but visually. On the simple level, whenever you move to a new place, everything is different. The Israeli people are way more direct than American people. And in the beginning, it was hard for me to understand what people mean. People would say yes when they mean no, and that was something that it took me a while to tune myself to how people communicate here. Sometimes I miss Israel. I miss aspects of it. I miss having the Mediterranean. I certainly miss being by my family and friends. At times I can miss the directness of people. Even after being here for 6 years, I went back to visit, and I was shocked by how direct people are. I forgot where I came from. They don't have lines in Israel. You don't stand in line. That's something that's very strong in American culture. And I very fast adjusted to that. It's like you stand in line and you take your turn. And then I go to Israel and I try to get on a bus and people elbow me. Or I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot that part. So you just push to the front. Like you go to buy a movie ticket. You just rush to the window and whoever gets there first. There's also charming sides to that. People are very direct. You know where you're at with people. Everybody was very nice, but I couldn't tell if they were really nice to me or they're just being polite. So that was actually confusing. A friend of mine from New York moved to Pittsburgh. His grandmother was dying. So I came to visit him and see how he was doing. And on that visit, I met a girl named Heather, which is my wife today. And I followed love and I came to Pittsburgh. I hardly knew about Pittsburgh. After I came, somebody told me it's the city from Flashdance. I was like, oh yeah, okay. I didn't even know what Pittsburgh wasn't on my horizon. I fell in love here with somebody that I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and so that was a pretty powerful experience. I had a child here. I have a child here. That's every day is a beautiful experience. I became a photography teacher, and then a group from CMU approached me with a Gigapan robot that takes pictures that are interactive and really big and help people communicate with each other, and I really liked that, so I joined that group. So now I work in robotics. In Cary Furnace, it's a steel mill near Braddock, there is a sculpture of a deer head. A group of artists would sneak into that steel mill every Sunday for about a year and a half, and they built this huge deer head shape out of materials they found around at the steel mill. And on my first visit to Pittsburgh, I got to go to that place. The girl that became my wife took me there, which was very impressive for me. I kept coming back there again and again. I came back there with students. I find that the art community here is very alive, and that place kind of combines that aspect of Pittsburgh with the history of the steel mills that made it.